You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Marquis Laughlin here, and this is another edition of the Bible Prophecy Daily Podcast. And I'm going to talk to you today about a sermon that my pastor preached on Revelation. I was excited to hear he was preaching on Revelation, but also disappointed to hear some of what he said, and I'll share about that later. I'm sure many of you probably understand or experience the way I felt. As somebody who memorized the book of Revelation 25 years ago, has been performing it, probably performed it 600 or 700 times live all around the world. Anytime somebody says, hey, I'm going to do a series on Revelation, I kind of perk up and tune in. I want to learn something new that I haven't discovered yet. And I want to find out kind of where they're coming from, dipping your toe in the water to see if they're warm, they're hot. Have they discovered some of the things you have? What do they know that you don't know? That kind of thing. So when my pastor said he was going to preach on this, I was excited. It was over the Easter weekend, couple of weeks of Easter, basically. And so I thought, great, we'll have a great audience. We'll be talking about Revelation. So when I tuned in, I was excited, and then I kind of quickly became disappointed, and then I became a little more encouraged at the end. And what happened was my pastor approached Revelation by attempting to simplify the book, which is may have not been the best way to go, in my opinion. He basically shared that there were two extremes to try to stay away from when you're approaching the book of Revelation. And he said, you need to stay away from asking too many questions and trying to figure out exactly what things mean. And you also need to stay away from ignoring the main theme of good versus evil, the fact that God wins and we should make sure we're on the right side. We can't miss that. So I thought, wow, I'm encouraged to hear that you're telling us that we need to be overcomers and to make sure that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that we're on the right side of things. But I'm discouraged because you have missed kind of the point of the book, the point of Revelation. And I realize a lot of people don't understand why Revelation. Why did God send this message to us? Why do we have the book of Revelation? What's the purpose of the book? And I thought I would never want to discourage people from asking questions about the book of Revelation. I would never want to encourage people to think that they were a little more spiritual because they didn't dig deep into its pages. I felt that that was just a bad twist on things and maybe an overreaction to people who assume they know everything about Revelation. There are far too many people who are afraid of Revelation, haven't been taught Revelation, don't know anything about Revelation. Those are the people we need to encourage to dig into it deeper. There are not a lot of people who think they know everything about the book. There are some people who've made some bad predictions, but the bigger problem surely is the lack of knowledge amongst God's people, not the attempt to try to get that. And when you approach Revelation, being able to compare Scripture with Scripture over and over again, that's the big approach to anything that proposes to say it's biblical. We must be like the Bereans. And they even checked out Paul's writing to make sure it was true. And they kept looking at Scripture to make sure that these things all lined up with Scripture. And so that's my advice to you as I do this show, as you listen to every podcast in this series. Always check out the Scriptures and see if there are some that might contradict what somebody has said or some that might support it. And that's how you go about weighing things. But that's what I would have preferred my pastor say. Dig in, ask questions, and realize the answers are in Scripture. and go there for your answers and you'll be safe. That would have been a simple answer, but I realize it's taken me years to develop that answer. A lot of patience, a lot of time, a lot of begging God for understanding, and a lot of trying to simplify things. So I may have had a little more practice than he has at it. But that really made me really see the need to explain to people this basic thing. Why did God give us revelation? What is the book about? And the best way to say what the book is about is in the first three chapters. The first verse tells you what revelation is about. Here it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, us, the things that must soon take place. Now he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw." And then verse 3 goes on to say, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." See, that blessing, I don't want anyone to miss. Everyone who's a believer, I want them to be blessed. I have been blessed by memorizing the book of Revelation more than anything else I've done in my life outside of accepting Christ. It's been an amazing revelation of who Jesus is now, the risen Christ, to be focused on him. It has been a great tool for God to burn the dross off my life, to weed sin out of my life, to detach me from the world, to produce fruit for his kingdom. It's been an amazing tool to do that. And I am constantly amazed at scripture and the power of it, and the foreknowledge of God, the detail, and how much he has given us, information he has given us about what he is going to do. It's amazing. But the purpose of Revelation is all about Jesus. It's about the day he is revealed to the whole world and destroys the works of the devil and establishes his kingdom on earth to rule and reign with his servants, the church. So it is the most important day in human history. Outside of the cross, this is the culmination of what the cross and his resurrection mean, and we're getting a preview of this coming attraction. It's kind of like God said, "Okay, I'm gonna do a trailer for human history, and in the trailer, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do in trailers. I'm gonna show you the end, so you're gonna have all the answers." And I'm going to show the end, not to the world, but to my servants, who have ears to hear and eyes to see. I'm going to show them the end, where I, the hero, come back and vanquish the works of the bad guy. And he shows us that so that we can endure and we can get through this time. I believe that a revelation, when you study its pages, you will find constant references to the time of the end, that Daniel called it the time of the end. Jacob's trouble, we call it the tribulation period, or really, to be more accurate, the Great Tribulation. A 3.5-year period where serious drama unfolds, where the two witnesses go at it with the against the false prophet and the Antichrist, and the world is in tremendous turmoil just prior to Jesus' return. So that's really what it's about. It's about Jesus' return here to rule and reign the earth. The hope, the blessed hope, that every believer has. And that blessed hope isn't to not have to endure any suffering. The blessed hope is that Jesus is going to come back and vanquish evil and judge the wicked, and the judgment starts in the house of God. So it's the ultimate insider trader information. You know, imagine having known that Microsoft stock was going to be huge when it cost pennies per share. You could invest in tons of it, or you could quote-unquote buy the pearl of great price And your investment would have turned out to be incredible. That's what knowing this book is like. That's what digging into this book is like. That's why I want to encourage you to ask any questions you can think of. Don't be ashamed of not knowing this and trying to figure out that. And God wants you to understand every detail of Revelation. He gave it to us so that we would be encouraged when we see the toughest times ever for a believer on earth approach. We have to endure that. And so our eyes need to be open, and we need to know what God's going to do, because that's going to really be the source of our encouragement and our ability to persevere, to know God's in control, instead of to fear and believe what the world believes, that, oh, everything's out of control, we need to be saved. We're going to know we're already saved and God is working out his plan. So are you ready for those days? I hope you are. Our organization, Last Days Overcomers, is producing conferences all across the country. We have three planned for the summer, one in Cincinnati in June, and July will be in Springdale, Arkansas. That's northwestern Arkansas. And then in August, we will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Mall of America. We're doing these conferences and inviting people from all over the place to come to get equipped, to understand how we can endure and be fruitful during the end times, during these last days. Most of us look and we see things coming. We understand that. As a fact, a poll in 2020 of evangelical pastors showed that 90%, 9 out of 10, believe that we are living in the last days, but they don't know what to do about it. Half of them, 56%, believe they're going to see Jesus come in their lifetime. But of course, we can see it, we can haggle about the timing, or we can take a look at the scriptures and make sure that we're doing exactly what Jesus said to be doing when he returns. He gave us very specific instructions about this particular time that we're entering into. And that's what these conferences are about. They're designed to get you equipped and make sure you're focused on the right things, the words of Jesus, so that when you stand before him or I stand before him, we can say, or he'll say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to be those who are paying attention. It's like the teacher who has been gone from the classroom. You're in fourth or fifth grade, and everybody gets up eventually because she's been gone a long time and starts fooling around and goofing off and jumping up and down in their desk and all that good stuff. The class is starting to go crazy. And for us to peek at Revelation, to look at what Jesus said about these times, it's like getting up out of our chair and walking to the door, opening the door and looking down the hall, and we get a shot of the teacher returning. And we may haggle about how many steps he has left, how close he is exactly, the exact timing of his return, but the effect is to everyone who sees that to run back to their desk, sit down and get on the work and remember what the teacher said to be doing when they came back. So that's what this is all about. Now, the return of Jesus to rule and reign is what Revelation is all about. And it has always been and always will be the biggest motivation for the church to do the works of God. Why are you sharing the gospel? Why are you serving at your church? Why is your pastor preaching? All because Jesus is going to return to rule and reign, and we are going to have to give an account to him when he returns. We're all preparing for what's in Revelation. I love how Peter puts it in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll read a little bit for you. He says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this, that first of all, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So since these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Great advice from Peter. He says to put our hopes on this day and realize he's going to do it. And because of it, it should drive us to grow in the grace and the knowledge. We should be asking questions and trying to understand what Jesus said. So in order, just to kind of wrap up, what's the takeaway? I mean, the takeaway is that as we gaze into the book of Revelation and realize the answers to every question we have about Revelation is already in the scripture, this is the final exam, and Revelation is the final exam of the Bible. You could go back and you can compare scripture with scripture, and you can allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. God wants you to know and understand this book of the Bible, particularly right now, because of its relevance. And it's designed to encourage you and enable you to encourage others as you see these days approaching, and prepare you to be able to endure whatever you may have to for his great name's sake. So take courage, my friend. We have the insider trader information. We get to discover what the risen Christ looks like, where he is now, and what he's about to do. So seek the blessing of being the one who hears these words and takes them to heart, because the time is near.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.